everyone. Good to see you. Welcome to Crossline Church. Thank you so much for being here. I just want to say, if you came prepared to give this morning, we have boxes on the exits as you leave if you want to be able to do that. We're in this great season of generosity, and it's our privilege to not only support the kingdom around the world, but to support the work of this church as we seek to make Jesus known to one another and to this community and to the world. We're in a series that we continue this morning, and it really fits in with kind of just our experience as a church family here in kind of commissioning our elders. We're talking about our identity in Christ, and the big theme of the series is the truest thing, and the truest thing is our new identity in Christ, because God says that's true, and we're talking about how to experience that supernatural identity in Christ, how to actually own for ourselves and live out this new life that is ours in Jesus. And so much of that first involves just kind of coming to understand what's true about us, and then beginning next week, we're going to start talking about how we unpack that in terms of that truth going from our heads to our hearts and out into our lives. But the truth that we're going to talk about this morning is this. This is the big picture. Not only do we as individuals have a new identity in Christ, but we share that new identity with every other believer. So we have a corporate identity or a community identity as well as a personal identity. And the way we experience that is that we've actually been placed into this new community called the church. And in the Bible, that's a big deal to God, that we're part of the body of Christ. And each of us, through coming to know Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives in bringing us into a relationship with Jesus, we've actually been connected into a relationship with one another. That is the truest thing about us. And as we come to understand that truth, it gives us a great sense of belonging and a great sense of purpose, because we have a life to live out in relationship with one another. So in Christ, we are gifted members of His church. Let me see if I can kind of paint that picture in a little story or an analogy. Let's suppose that you're a soldier and you're in combat, and an explosion takes place, and when you come to, you've received a concussion, and as a result, you've got amnesia. So you don't know who you are, and you don't even know where you are. But over the course of events, you realize you're in some kind of a hostile environment. And slowly, your identity starts to come back, and you realize, I'm in a hostile environment, and I'm a soldier. So I'm supposed to soldier in some way. I'm supposed to fight in some way. And then more of your memory comes back, and you realize you're not only a soldier, you're part of a special unit. And that special unit has a strategic objective. And now that you realize that you're not just a soldier, but you're actually a soldier that's part of a special unit, and part of that special unit is that it has a strategic objective, and you, as part of that special unit, have a part to play in that strategic objective, now all of a sudden you realize how you're supposed to negotiate that hostile environment with meaning and purpose. We're in a hostile environment. It's called the world. And apart from Jesus Christ, it's like we have amnesia. We don't know what we're supposed to be doing in this world. But when we come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, we realize we have an identity. But that identity is just not yet fully complete unless we see it as an identity connected to the team, to the unit, to the body of Christ, in which everybody else also has an identity. And together, we have a strategic mission. And so together we can accomplish it, living out our identity in Jesus Christ. So I want to unpack three passages that bring this truth of our identity, and especially this corporate identity that we have in Christ, to bear. The first is Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. I want to look at each scripture and then make some observations to help us experience and fully receive this new identity that is ours in Christ as part of His church. Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God has made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus, and once you were formerly far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family, and together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself, and we're carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. This is an awesome statement. And you can see in the flow of Ephesians chapter 2, just to understand the parallelism in the Bible, the first part of Ephesians 2, 1 to 10, he talks about how we've individually been identified with Christ. It says we were dead in trespasses and sins, but now we've been made alive. We've been saved by grace. We've been raised up with Christ. We've been seated with Christ. And in a corresponding parallel, not just speaking about the individual, but now we as a people, we were alienated from others, and he's using the Jew-Gentile kind of historic conflict. There was an alienation there, but in Christ, those two groups have now become one new people, and in relationship with Christ, we together are fellow citizens. We're part of the same family. We're a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Not only does the Holy Spirit live in me as an individual, the Holy Spirit lives in us. Right now, just kind of look around this room, and you got folks up on the balcony, so up here in front, you can turn around and look. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer here, and the Holy Spirit lives here. He's here, because the church isn't a building. The church is people, so we, the people of God who know Jesus Christ, who've come into a living relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And we, as the corporate people of God, the Holy Spirit lives in us. This is this amazing truth. Yes, that's praise God for that truth. This is part of our identity. And the more we come to understand that, the more it sets us free and more we live with real purpose and real meaning. So some observations from this. First of all, in Christ, we have a shared corporate identity with other believers into one new community. In Christ, we have a shared corporate identity with other believers into one new community. So several years ago, I was with Dave Brodsky, one of our elders. He heads up our missions teams here, and with a few other people from Crossline. We went to Israel, and we went on a mission trip to Israel. We worked with the CRU ministry, Campus Crusade for Christ ministry in Israel, but they don't call it Campus Crusade for Christ because Christ isn't real popular as a name in Israel. Crusade is even less popular in Israel. So go figure, right? It's Orba Eretz. It's kind of the light in the land. That's the name of the ministry in Israel. And I was speaking to all their staff. And they did a conference, and I was speaking with the staff at the conference. And one of the leaders for CRU, Campus Crusade International, from England was there. And there was a whole group of students who'd been serving that summer in the ministry, and some of them were also from England. So I was speaking at this staff conference and doing some teaching and some training. And afterwards, there was like a little, you know, people were just kind of milling around and talking. And I overheard this conversation, and it was kind of like holy eavesdropping, you know? No one here has ever done that, I know. Because my name came up, and so it was like, what are they saying? And the guy that was the director in England was talking to a student who was there from England, and they were talking about a future conference they were going to be having in England. And the director from England said, "What do you think about, you know, Pastor JP is getting him to be our speaker? Because it sounded like, you know, he did a good job here. You know, what do you think about getting him?" So I'm like, "Oh yeah, what are they saying?" And the student from England said, "Yes, he's a good speaker, but he's so American." Now, I knew, if you've ever been to England and been to how kind of church and ministry happens in England, I knew exactly what he meant. I am so American. But when I heard him, I thought, well, what else could I be? I mean, I'm an American. That's who I am. I'm an American. That's part of my identity. It's part of my identity. I'm an American. But I can see with my audience here, mostly, I'm an American among fellow Americans. It's not just my identity, it's our identity. And that's the way it is in Christ. It's not just like, I'm a Christian in a hostile world, and I just have to live my life negotiating, you know, the world, the flesh, and the devil. No, I'm part of the body of Christ. You're part of the body of Christ. We have a shared identity. We have a relationship with Jesus and with one another, and God designed it that way. God put it together that way, and God put it together that way as part of his holy purposes. So we need Jesus, and guess what? We need each other. We are part of the body. We have this shared identity. It's part of who we are in Christ. And if we're going to experience the supernatural truth of our identity in Christ, it involves not just knowing what Jesus has done for me, it's what Jesus has done for us and how we're locked into that together. Here's a second observation. In Christ, we have shared access to the Father, and we're connected to other believers as family and fellow citizens of God's kingdom. It's like when the Apostle Paul is trying to paint this picture for us. He's drawing upon every little metaphor he can tie together to try to bring out this big idea that we don't just have this individual personalized relationship with God. We've got a connected, shared relationship with God through our new identity in Jesus Christ. And in that, we have access. We got access. I think I might have told you before, back in the early days of Crossline, we had a member of our church was part of Linkin Park, who was the big rock band, Linkin Park, and a great guy, and he played bass, Phoenix is his name. They did a concert up here in LA, and he gave us as the staff, the pastors at the time, all access passes at the concert. So we got these VIP all access passes. I'd never been to a Linkin Park, you know, concert. In fact, I'd never even heard any of their music. I just know, oh yeah, I've heard the great name. I just hear. So I go to this rock concert, you know, and like, I got my all access pass. Boom, I just show it and I'll get in. I went down to the front, just showed my pass, got in, went into the green room, showed my pass, got in. After the concert was over, they had this kind of post-concert party where all these real movie stars and legitimate pop stars were there. And I kind of show up and got my all-access pass. Boom, I go in. So that pass got me in everywhere. We have an all-access pass to the Father through the Holy Spirit. Every believer has it. So you have it. The person next to you has it. The person behind you has it. If they're a believer in Jesus Christ, if they've said yes to Jesus and trusted in Christ for their salvation, at that very moment of salvation, remember, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. We were blessed with every spiritual blessing in our heavenly places in Christ. And part of that spiritual blessing is we receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us an all-access pass to God. And we share that with other believers. It's not just mine, not just yours, it's ours. And that all access pass reminds us that we're part of the family. We're in the family. We're not outside the family, we're in the family. And we're fellow citizens. We're not kind of wanting to get citizenship, we have it in Jesus Christ. It's what we share with every other believer. And again, the backdrop is so important for us to understand. We could superimpose any present racial divide, religious divide, ethnic divide, a political divide. You could superimpose upon that because Christ has broken down all those walls and all those barriers. But the backdrop for what's written here was the Jew and Gentile, because the Jewish people were God's chosen people. Of all the people on the earth, God appeared to Abraham and made a covenant promise to Abraham and to his children. Now, part of that covenant promise was that they were to be a blessing to all the nations. So it wasn't just, I've chosen you and, you know, to heck with everybody else. No, I've chosen you to be the means of blessing everybody else. But we can't forget that there was a special covenant agreement that God established with Abraham. And so all of Abraham's descendants were part of Abraham's family. They could trace their DNA back to Abraham. And when they got brought into the promised land, they weren't just a family. You know, all the tribes of Israel that went into the promised land had a shared family relationship. But now they set up a nation. And they were fellow citizens. So they were a family and fellow citizens. And that backdrop is what God is saying we have together in Jesus Christ. We are family with every other believer. That means with every other, the church down the street, the church over in South Africa. We share that as fellow members of the body of Christ. We have a shared family relationship and a shared spiritual citizenship in the kingdom of God. It's ours. Here's a third observation of what's true about us in Christ, because we're part of the body of Christ. In Christ, we are being built together as a dwelling of God's Spirit. In Christ, we're being built together as a dwelling of God's Spirit. So the Apostle Paul uses two metaphors here. One is kind of the building, and he talks about, you know, there's a building that's being built up, and there's different materials that are used to build the building up, and it's like we're the materials. Each of us is a material piece of the building that's getting constructed, but the building that's getting constructed is to be a dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, the Holy Spirit not only lives in me and you and us as individuals, he lives here in us, and because we are a building for the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, we're a temple. We're a temple. So when we as a family, we lived up in Thousand Oaks, and we moved to South Orange County. And when we first moved here, I was a pastor of Coast Hills Community Church, and we bought a house, and it wasn't yet built. It was just a piece of land. And it was in a little community called Stone Cliff out by Tesoro High School. And we lived in an apartment in Aliso Viejo for about 9 months, because it was supposed to be built in like take about 3 or 4 months, but it was one of those El Nino years and just rained like crazy, so it took much longer to build the house. So we would go out, our family, the kids were real little at the time, we would go out and look at the progress of the building. Right? Because we'd go out and we'd see it, and they leveled off, and then they laid the foundation, and then they started putting up the 2x4s, and then they've put a roof on it, and we took pictures of the whole process of it being built. But you know, that house was being built for us to live in. It wasn't just a building being built. It was a home for us to actually live in it. We're being built. The church of Jesus is being built. This local church, Crossline Community Church, is being built. We're, each of us, integral to the building of the building, you know, because each of us is a piece of that. If you didn't have a wall, it wouldn't be the building. If you didn't have a section of your roof, if you didn't have the framing around one of your rooms, each of us are part of the building that's being built. But our building is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inhabiting us. Do you see how important the church is? And do you see how important you are to the church? We are part of the body of Christ, which is a building being built up for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And each of us is a part of that. It is our heritage. It is our identity. So for us to understand who I am in Jesus Christ, I got to understand I'm a person who has been placed into the body of Christ. And I have a connection with Jesus. I have a connection with the larger body of Christ. I have a connection with every believer who's a part of the body of Christ. It's who I am. It's my identity. Let's look at another passage, Romans 12, verses 4 to 8. Romans 12, verses 4 to 8, it says this, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. In Christ, we are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing mercy to others, do it gladly. So here in this passage, just to paint a context for you, the first 11 chapters of Romans is entirely theological. It's statements of truth, all that God has done for us. Just three commands in Romans chapter 6 about living out our identity in Christ. But other than that, everything else is just theology. In Romans chapter 12, he shifts, and now it's like, this is what you're to do about it. This is how you're to actually live in light of what God's done for you. And so he says, present your bodies a living holy sacrifice. Stop being conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And verse 4, realize that you're part of a body in Christ. You've been placed in the body, and the body is one, but it has many members. You're one of the members of the body. How do you live out that membership role of being part of the body? By expressing the spiritual gift that God has given to you. And then what does he say after this? He lists a bunch of practical commands of exhortations of how we're to love one another, how we're to serve one another, how we're to encourage one another, how we're to bless one another, how we're to live out life together as members of one another in the body of Christ. So what does he say in this section about this corporate identity, this new identity we have in Christ, in which we share with one another? Here's the first thing. In Christ, we are gifted members of Christ's body. In Christ, we are gifted members of Christ's body. So we saw in Ephesians 2 that we're part of Christ's body. It's this new community that Christ has established, of which we're a part, and we share that with everyone else. But we're actually gifted members, and so this analogy of the body, it's used all over the New Testament. It's the primary picture that the Apostle Paul uses to explain what it means to be in Christ and a part of his church. It's like the human body, you know? You got hands, you got elbows, you got shoulders, you got legs, you got feet. You got all these parts of your body. And there's one body, but the body is made up of parts. There's one community of Jesus. One team Jesus. And every one of us we're part of the team. And using that team analogy, every one of us is part of the team, and we have a position to play on the team. And it's when we all play our position that the team wins. So you could superimpose whatever sport you love onto that analogy, whatever team sport, and that's, you know, in basketball, or soccer, or baseball, or football. You know, we're in football season. There's positions to play on the team, and every position is a valuable, important position. And you play a position on Team Jesus, and so does everybody else who's a believer in Christ. In Christ, we are gifted members of Christ's body. My father-in-law, Don Raleigh, he and his wife Carol, they're part of this church, and Don was a Division I football coach his entire career. And I remember when I was dating my wife, Donna, and I was trying to get in good graces with my future father-in-law. And he was watching film of these high school football players that they were going to be recruiting to UCLA. He was the offensive line coach at UCLA at that time. And so he was looking at film of potential recruits. And I was watching a film with them, and there was this one player that it was a they were he they, it was on defense, so it was all these defensive films of these of this team. And I didn't know which player he was looking at, and I saw the one guy who played the position of linebacker, and he looked really good. He was making a lot of tackles. He was all over the field. And I said, "Are you recruiting that guy?" And he said, "No, he's a good athlete, but he's too small. He'll probably play at some small college. We're not looking for him. We're looking at this guy," and it was a defensive lineman. And he didn't even look that impressive to me, but he said, "Yeah, we're what we need is a defensive interior lineman. So I'm not just recruiting a football player, and I'm not just recruiting an athlete, I'm recruiting an interior defensive lineman." And so he was looking at everything about how he lined up and how his feet were and what was his first move and how he reacted to everything. Because what was he recruiting? An interior defensive lineman. Now, the Holy Spirit has recruited you for Team Jesus. And he's placed you on the team, not just to be part of the team, but to be the specific position you're to play on the team. And so the Holy Spirit recruits us to Jesus. And when we say yes and we open up our hearts to Jesus and we cross the line, at that very moment, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. And whatever gifts he's given to us, he gives us. And that's our position. See, he's recruited us and called us and placed us into the body of Christ in the right place. Right now, you're on the team and your contribution matters to the team. It's part of your identity in Jesus Christ. It's part of how you serve the team and how you serve other believers, because the Holy Spirit recruited you and placed you and gifted you and put you into that position. In Christ, we are gifted members of Christ's body, which leads to this fifth observation. In Christ, we serve one another through using and exercising our gifts. We serve one another. We serve Jesus. We serve the whole body. And we serve one another through using and exercising our spiritual gifts. I kind of told you different parts of the story of when we started Crossline Church. A few of you were actually there when we started. But, you know, a little over 17 years ago, we started Crossline. At the time, I was going through major back problems, had a major back surgery. And so I literally was recovering from back surgery. And Pastor Greg, bless his heart, man, he went to town. And he implemented so many things to make it possible. At the time, Dean Lees, Dino, was our children's pastor. And, you know, we met at Capo Valley High School. And he recruited a team of people. And they would go and just transform the classroom to look like a children's wing and a children's area. And all these great children's volunteers. And our first worship pastor, Darren, got people to become part of a worship team, and they mobilized people to plan and execute great worship services. And we had tons of volunteers that were part of Team Nehemiah that would get up at O'Dark 100 and load these trailers and drive to the church, and a team of volunteers who would unpack all those trailers and bring them into the high school and set up carpet and chairs and pipe and drape and make that high school actually look like a church. And my wife led the women's Bible study, and I led the men's Bible study. And you see, it was a team effort. And different gifted people served one another, the body of Christ, and King Jesus. It wasn't just one person or two people or three people. It was a team. We've grown much larger since then. But we're still a team. And everybody here is part of the team. And we serve King Jesus, and we serve the whole body, and we serve one another. Let's make that practical. We serve one another when we use the gifts that God's given to us. Now, in this passage, he mentions there's four passages in the New Testament that describe spiritual gifts. It's a much broader discussion than we have time for. But he says, if you got to get the prophecy, if you speak forth the word, well, speak it. If you got the gift of serving, well, then step in and serve. If you got the gift of teaching, well, then teach the word. If you have the gift of encouragement, well, then come alongside and encourage people. If you got the gift of giving, well, give generously. If you got the gift of leading, well, step up and say, follow me as I follow Christ. And if you got the gift of showing mercy, if someone's hurting, show mercy to them. What's the point? You don't just have your gift as kind of part of a assessment that you took and that you are aware of, and it sits on a shelf somewhere but never gets actually used. Spiritual gifts are for the implementation. They're you put them in action. Does that make sense? And so everybody is to be an active servant in the body of Christ. It's part of our identity. And it's part of, how do I actually live out this great commandment to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love my neighbor as myself? Well, one of the ways we live that out, one of the ways we can love our neighbor is to use whatever gifts God's given us to go serve him. And every act of service matters in the body of Christ. Jesus says, if you just give a cup of cold water to someone in my name, you'll not lose your reward. So even the smallest act of service is recognized by Jesus, appreciated by Jesus, will be rewarded by Jesus. So part of our identity is we've been placed into this body. We matter to one another. We belong to each other. We actually serve one another. And the Holy Spirit's actually given us giftings to be able to serve one another. And if we don't act on that, then the body and individual members of the body go unserved. My senior year in high school, we for whatever reason, we didn't have very many guys go out for the football team. So we barely had enough guys to field the team. And all of the seniors on our team all had to start and play both ways. So we played both on offense and defense. We didn't just have one position, we had to play two. And then as the season progressed, you know, people got hurt or people got sick. There was one game that we played, we literally barely had enough players to actually field a team and actually play the game. Because if you don't have 11 players, you can't play. You got to have 11 on offense and 11 on defense. And you got to have the players to play all the special teams. So let's suppose that we were playing one of those games where we barely had enough to begin with, and a couple of our players said, you know, I'm not feeling it. I just don't want to play today. We would have had to forfeit. Or you know what? I don't feel like I'm getting the kind of affirmation I should get on this team. So I'm not going to play. Or you know what? I don't feel like I'm equipped and trained and coached enough to really play this position, so I'm not going to play. If any reason would have caused them to say, I don't want to play, it wouldn't have just been them. All the other players wouldn't have been able to play, and the team wouldn't have been able to play. Everybody matters. Everybody's important. Everybody has a contribution. The Holy Spirit's placed us in the body of Christ, and we actually serve Christ, serve the body, serve one another through using whatever gifts he's given us to make a contribution to build each other up. Let me look at one last passage of scripture. We're talking about this individual and this corporate identity. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says this, a spiritual gift is given to each of us, a manifestation of the Spirit so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to speak wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message to speak special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. And he gives one person the power to perform miracles. And another, the ability to prophesy. And he gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. And still another person is given the ability to speak in an unknown language, while another person is given the ability to interpret what that language is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into the one body by the one Spirit, and we all share and drink of the same Spirit. Yes, the one body has many different parts, not just one. It's powerful reinforcement how Scripture interprets Scripture and Scripture supports Scripture in a cohesive truth. So from this passage, an observation is that in Christ, the Holy Spirit manifests himself through us, through our spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit manifests himself through us, demonstrates himself through us, through our exercise of our spiritual gifts. I don't know if you've ever seen the show 30 for 30. It's great sports analysis of different teams and sports figures. I think one of the best ones, that at least in my mind, was the one they did on Bo Jackson. And, you know, for a lot of people's estimation, Bo Jackson is the greatest athlete who ever lived, all-around athlete in terms of performing all-around athletic ability. He's got to be in the top five, maybe the best all-around athlete. Well, in this 30 for 30 story, they go through some of the exploits of Bo Jackson, not just what he actually did playing football and baseball at Auburn, but just other things that he did that people were eyewitnesses to. So there were these specific things that Bo Jackson did, you know, in his freshman year. He just dove over this huge pile and scored a touchdown for Auburn's victory. And it was like they measured it and put it, you know, it's kind of like, that's humanly impossible for someone to jump that high and then to go that far. Bo Jackson did it. Bo Jackson hit a home run further than any college baseball player ever hit one. They estimated how far it was, and it was like just like almost 600 feet on a home run baseball. Bo Jackson could stand in a swimming pool and jump out of the water out onto the deck. I mean, he did. Just all of this crazy thing. You have to watch 30 for 30. It goes through all the different things. Now, the point was, they're trying to make this point that Bo Jackson was the greatest athlete, and the proof was all the athletic events and feats he actually did. He wasn't just a guy like, I'm the greatest athlete. Well, prove it. No, I'm the greatest athlete. I got great athletic ability. Well, what have you done? Well, nothing, but I have great athletic ability. No, we demonstrate who we are. We've been gifted by the Holy Spirit. We manifest that, and we demonstrate that when we serve in the power that the Spirit gives us. When we do something that demonstrates the Spirit, that's the manifestation of the Spirit. And he says, every believer's been given a manifestation of the Spirit. In Christ, the Holy Spirit manifests himself through the exercise, the activity of our acts of service that are part of the spiritual gifting that the Holy Spirit has given to us. Here's a seventh observation. In Christ, we have a common experience and dependence on the Holy Spirit. See, it says, because it's talking about this diversity of spiritual giftings that have been given. You know, Romans 12 has this list here. 1 Corinthians 12 has another list. At the end of 1 Corinthians 12, there's another list. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, there are another list. There are all these different gifts the Holy Spirit gives, and there's a context in each of those scriptures as to why those gifts represent that particular context of what the Holy Spirit gives. But there's maybe 19, 20 spiritual gifts that are mentioned in the collective lists. That's diversity, the different gifts. What's the unity? The common experience we have with the Holy Spirit. See, we all came to Christ, whatever our story, when it'd be so fascinating to hear everybody's personal story of how we came to know Jesus Christ. That's the presenting issue. You know, there's always a backstory to whatever presenting issue. So there's a presenting issue of my life that led me to come to a place where I put my faith in Jesus Christ. There's a presenting issue of your life that led you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. But the backstory for all of us is the same. The Holy Spirit drew us to salvation and solidified within us a belief in Jesus. And at that very moment, he baptized us into the body of Jesus Christ. The very moment we said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came and did everything that the Holy Spirit does. He indwells us, he seals us, he makes us the adopted children of the Father, and he baptizes us into the body of Christ. And it says, we were all baptized by the same Spirit. We were all made to drink of the whole same Spirit. So Paul uses two analogies to try to point the picture of the same thing. We were baptized by the Spirit. We drank of the Spirit. Well, when did that happen? At salvation. That made us part of the body of Christ. That's when we received whatever spiritual gifting that's the manifestation of the Spirit to express within the body of Christ. So we're all in the body. It's the initiation experience. You know, there's a lot of fraternal organizations where you go through an initiation experience. You know, you might, when I worked with Campus Crusade for Christ, I worked largely within the Greek system, and within the Greek system, fraternities and sororities. When a college student wants to become part of a fraternity or a sorority, they go and they start making friendships, and they investigate what that might be like, and then they become part of what's known as the pledge class, and then at some point they've completed the pledge process, and then they get initiated. And once they're initiated, they're in. We all have a backstory of the kind of whatever kind of brought us to Christ, and then it was the Holy Spirit who initiated us at salvation. And that's true of every believer. You share that with every believer in this room, with every believer in the churches across South Orange County, with every believer around the world. We all get placed into the body of Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have a common experience and dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And here's the last observation, and it really applies to all three of these passages. In Christ, we have community, significance, and purpose. Think about it. Because we have this individual relationship with Jesus, and because it's been connected to everybody else's individual relationship with Jesus, and so now we're part of the body of Christ, the family of God. We have fellow citizenship. We are members of one body. We have giftings to contribute to this one body. We have a purpose as we work together in serving Jesus and serving the body and serving to one another. We have community. We belong. We have significance. We're needed. We have purpose. We're called to be servants. In Christ, we find everything we need through our relationship with Jesus and through Jesus being placed into his body. You know, one of the great theological movies of our time is The Lion King. It's probably been quoted by more pastors in more sermons than probably any other, you know, movie. But the story of Simba kind of wandering off on his own into the land of Hakuna Matata, which seemingly was satisfying, but it really wasn't, because he was disconnected from his true self. He was disconnected from his identity, and he was just living aimlessly until he understood who he really was. And then he came back to the pride, which was a family. And he assumed the real identity that was actually his. He had a sense of belonging and a sense of significance and a sense of purpose because he was living out who he really was. But he didn't live that out off on his own by himself. He lived it out in his family. That's the way we've been designed by God. We have a new identity in Christ, but that new identity is part of a family. It's part of a body. It's part of a community. It's a shared identity that we have with every other believer in Jesus Christ, and we live it out when we serve. We live it out when we serve. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the Word of God that's true and declares us what's true about us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes, our minds, our hearts, our lives to this truth, that we are new in Christ and we're part of a new body. Jesus, thank you that you saved us, and you've placed us into your church. May we live out the fullness of our identity together. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.